بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, once again, it's the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He puts us together to remind one another about His greatness and to remind one another about the path that we should be on, the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's all the bounty and the ni'mah of Allah that Allah brought us here. It's not because of our will, my will or your will, or the will of anyone, it's because of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all because what Allah azza wa jal had written on us, and Allah had accepted us to be from among those who come to His house, and from among those who come and pray in His house, and from among those who come and listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always thank Allah azza wa jal for this. Allah had promised in return, وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you thank Allah, Allah in return will increase from what He had given you. And the greatest ni'mah that was given to this man, to this human being, is the ni'mah of Islam and the ni'mah of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we promised you, we'll speak about main events that took place in the history of Islam. And speaking about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that great man and warrior in Islam, that the scholars had agreed upon, that the greatest men, after the prophets and the messengers, is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardahum. We spoke about the main events that took place at the time and the period of Abu Bakr. And then we spoke about Umar ibn al-Khattab, and we mentioned the main events that took place at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the great openings from the east to the west and from the west to the east. The great openings that destroyed the greatest two empires back then, the Roman Empire in the west and the Persian Empire in the east. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a true example of being a leader. And he had that leader character, the character of being a strong leader that enforced the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enforced the right and enforced the justice and enforced what's right in Islam. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu indeed was a great leader, stayed as a khalifa for 10 years. 10 years Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu made what leaders need to do within 100 years. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. Tonight, my brothers and sisters in Islam, what we will be focusing on tonight, and the topic that we'll be speaking about tonight, and the event that took place in history that we will mention tonight, is not something you want to be too proud of. It's not something that you want to do. It's a main event that took place. A main event that took place. We put it under the title of fitna that took place. That a lot of people do ask about, and a lot of people don't know much of. This fitna that took place is what made history, or what changed history and the future history of Islam. And that's the fitna, the conflict that took place between the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Alayhi salatu wassalam, he said in the authentic hadith that's been narrated, and it's been mentioned in more than one occasion, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the day of judgment, the day of judgment would not take place until two great parties from my nation. So there are two Muslims. Two great parties from my nation will fight one another. Until two great parties from my nation. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam considered both parties are Muslims from the followers of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. Two great parties from my nation will fight one another. Da'wahuma wahida. Their call is one. So they both are fighting for the sake of Allah. Da'wahuma wahida. Their call is one. They are both fighting for the sake of Allah. But it's the fitna that happens between them. And this fitna starts at the time of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as we heard last week, he was a strong and tough and a rough leader radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Umar had his haybah and dignity enforced over everyone, those who knew him and those who didn't know him. That the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to get scared from Umar. The great companions, those great companions who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned good about them, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, used to get scared from Umar. That once they asked Abdullah ibn Abbas a question, he said, "By Allah, I'm too afraid to answer that question because Umar will hit me with his stick." So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a strong character. And he had a strong leadership character that was enforced over everyone. Once radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting down between the Muslims. So he asked, "Does anyone know anything about the fitan? About the afflictions, about the tests?" So one of the companions, Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the secret carrier of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, O Umar, I know a lot of ahadith. I know a lot of ahadith and a lot of stories about the fitan. The biggest of fitna is when someone is tested with his family and his wealth. So Umar said, "I'm not asking you about this test. I'm not asking you about the fitna that takes place between the Muslim and his family and his wealth and so on. I'm asking you about the fitna that comes like a wave of the ocean." So Hudhayfa said, "Oh Umar, are you asking about that?" So Umar said, "Yes, that's a fitna I'm talking about. The fitna that Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had promised that will come in the future." So Hudhayfa told him, "Oh Umar, what are you asking about such a fitna? Why are you concerned about such a thing when there's a long way between you and that fitna? And when you get to where there's a massive gate that's locked and can't be opened." So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, "And would that door be opened one day, or does it have to be broken down?" So Hudhayfa said, "That door will never be opened unless it's broken down." So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "Alhamdulillah." And he went. So the companions, hearing Umar ibn al-Khattab speaking to Hudhayfa, Hudhayfa speaking to Umar ibn al-Khattab, talking about long distance and a massive gate and needs to be broken down and can't be opened. What are these two talking about? So when Umar ibn al-Khattab went away, they asked Hudhayfa, "What were you and Umar talking about? What are the things that you're talking about? Did Umar understand what you're talking about? And did you understand what Umar was talking about?" Hudhayfa said, "Yes, we understood each other very well." So they told him, "Oh Hudhayfa, please explain to us. What's this massive gate and the long distance and can't be opened unless it's broken?" So Hudhayfa said, "That massive gate that would never ever be opened unless it's broken, it's Umar. The fitna would never ever go through this world until Umar dies." That's how strong Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. He was described to be a massive gate in front of the fitna that would never be opened unless it's broken down by his death. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he passed away, the fitna started. Who became the Khalifa after Umar? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu appointed 6. And he said, you choose one from among you. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companions now doubt, they found there is no one more suitable to be in the position of the Khilafa out of those 6 except Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was nicknamed Dhun-Nurayn, the one with the 2 lights, due that he married 2 daughters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I had a 3rd daughter, I'll marry her off to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman became a Khalifa at the age of 70. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away at the age of 82. So he was a Khalifa for 12 years. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu took over a strong, stabled leadership from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where everyone's quiet and all the fitna and anyone that dares to say a fitna was so quiet and covered. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, the fattanin, those who always love the fitna and call for the fitna and seek after fitna, uncovered. They uncovered over themselves and start to pop up to increase the fitna between the Muslims and the Muslim nation. The early years of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu were years of openings, where he took over from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Umar had opened all the way to Persia. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu ordered the companions to continue opening all the way they reached to Russia and all those areas. And then the fitna started. And this is something, as I said, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's not something you want to be proud of, that the Muslim fought against each other and there was a fitna between the Muslims. But it's a great lesson for all of us for the future to know, when the fitna comes, how to deal with the fitna, because the fitna will always stay there. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many things, and Allah azza wa jal accepted the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, except in one dua, O Allah, do not make a fitna between my nation. Allah did not accept that dua. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam asked Allah, O Allah, do not divide my nation. Make my nation united. And Allah did not accept that dua. And one of the things that Allah had written on the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there will be a division. But from that division, there will be always a group of people who stand firm for the truth. Mentioning the period that Umar was in is a different period than Uthman. We are talking about a tough leader here and a rough leader like Umar coming to a stage of a very humble leader. Like Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once sitting in his house. And then Aisha narrates the hadith that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam had his trousers, had his pants uncovered all the way to the beginning of his thighs. So Abu Bakr walked in. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam welcomed Abu Bakr and sat him down. Then Umar walked in, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed him and sat him down. When Uthman walked in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he covered his thighs. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam covered his thighs. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha saw, my father walked in, then Umar walked in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed the way he is. When Uthman walked in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam deliberately covered his thighs. So she asked him later on. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shouldn't I be shy from the one that the angels are shy from? So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was described by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a very shy man. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a shy man when it comes to moments to be shy, but he was a tough and strong man when it comes to moments of being tough and strong. But his roughness wasn't like Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And for 10 years, the companions are used to Umar. And then they get someone like Uthman. You could say they were a bit more spoiled. The Muslims around that time, they were a bit more spoiled with Uthman. Also, the Muslim state start to expand and become bigger and bigger. And the Muslim states start to become rich and richer. So the Muslims were spoiled with a lot of wealth. And the dunya start to enter their hearts. The dunya start to enter their hearts. One thing that Uthman did, that Umar ibn Khattab didn't do, at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, all the great companions who were from the beginning with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were banned by Umar ibn Khattab to leave Medina. Unless they take a permission from him. He kept them around him. Umar ibn al-Khattab, that was his strategy. He kept all the companions, like all those companions that have been from day one with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who have respect among the Muslim community, among the Muslims at that time. Umar ibn al-Khattab banned them from leaving Medina unless they take a permission, and very rarely they get accepted. When Uthman came in leadership, he lit and he gave the approval to a lot of the companions and the most respected companions who stood by the Prophet ﷺ from day one. He gave him the authority and the approval to go wherever they want. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu changed a lot of the governors that were at the time of Umar. He changed them. And a lot of the governors that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had assigned beside the governors that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had were from the family of Uthman. So the talk started, and by a man, his name is Abdullah ibn Saba. That filthy man, Abdullah ibn Saba, who is originally a Jew, that covered his Jewish faith with Islam and made himself to be a scholar in Islam. He was from among those who started to work against the Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and to turn the Muslims against each other. Abdullah ibn Saba, they used to call him Ibn Sauda, the son of the black woman. Why? Because his mother used to be a black woman. And he was indeed a Jewish man that covered his faith with Islam just to get the sympathy of the Muslims. Deep inside, he had all the hatred and had all the jealousy and envy towards Islam. And that's the case with the munafiqeen. They show you something deep inside their hearts that are something else. He tried to get people on his side. So the first place he tried to make fitna was in Medina and Mecca. But the people in Medina and Mecca are much more stronger than the other people who just entered Islam from Iraq and Egypt and the other states. So he didn't find anyone accepting his call, and a lot of people rejected him. So where did he go? He went to the Kufa in Iraq. And then he went to Egypt. And he started to promote his ideology to turn against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the things that he started to promote and say that you believe that Isa will be resurrected, you'll believe that Isa will come back before the day of judgment. He can't believe Muhammad will come back. So he started to put these weird ideologies in the minds of the people to turn them against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And working and plotting from here and speaking from here and accusing Uthman of things that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was innocent from, until he built up an army to turn them against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And usually people in the leadership, they're always in the spotlight. If they give a smile, they say, look, they're making fun of us. If they do good, they're only doing it for the ansulf. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَقِيلُ ذَوَ الْهَيْئَاتِ عَثَرَاتِهِمْ. Do not look at the faults of people in the leadership. Because indeed you always find something that you want to pick on. So one of the things they picked on Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Uthman is not there for the sake of the ummah, he's not there for the sake of the Muslims, he's not there for the sake of Islam, he's there for the sake of his only personal gain, and only to get himself richer, and only to get himself respect, and only to get himself power, and he does not care about the Muslims or Islam or anyone else. And look what he did. He cares about his family, he put the governors, most of the governors come from his family, and so on, and promoting all these things against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where people start to accept that, especially people who came new into the Islam, they've got weak faith, they have little of understanding, they start to accept
that fitna and those accusations against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Abdullah ibn Sabah started to promote that fitna and he had a big army to turn against Uthman. And then, yes, they went to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Medina during the Hajj season. They chose the best time for their fitna during the Hajj season, when most of the Muslims and most of the Sahaba in Medina are gone to Mecca to perform Hajj. Most of the Sahaba and most of the Muslims and most of the people around Uthman had gone from Medina to Hajj. Those Fattanin, those people, those followers of Abdullah ibn Sabah took advantage of the Hajj season to go to Medina, where they disguised themselves, making themselves go into Mecca. They went to Medina to go against Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they stood against Uthman, and they had a great number of people, exceeding the number of 3,000 men, coming to attack Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where in whole Medina there wasn't 3,000 men at that time. Most of the people and most of the Muslims went to Hajj. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu sat down with him, where Marwan ibn al-Hakam, his cousin, encouraged Uthman, or recommended to Uthman, not to sit down with him and get the Muslim army and attack him. 3,000, what's 3,000? But Uthman did not want to fight, or did not want one blood to be shed for his sake. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to hear from them what they have. So they stood up and asked him so many questions, and told him, we have this against you, and we have that against you, and we have this. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the mosque of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, with hikmah, he answered their questions. So they had nothing to say on Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu agreed with them that they go back safely to where they came from, and they stopped that fitna. Because they stood against Uthman, and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood firm, and he answered everything they had nothing on him. So they got demotivated to attack Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and to take Uthman out of the seat of Khilafah. But when they went, after they walked out of Medina, one of their main heads started to provoke and start to promote the fitna once again. And they said, Uthman had misguided us, and Uthman lied, and Uthman this, and Uthman that. So they motivated themselves again to go this time for one thing: to kill Uthman and to finish off Uthman, because Uthman, he's an unjust leader. He does not deserve to be the Khalifa. He had taken the Khilafah by oppression and by injustice. Uthman this, Uthman that. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Uthman heard about that. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Uthman did not allow anyone to stand against him. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was surrounded by them for over 10 days. They came and put him under siege. They surrounded his house and surrounded Medina. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not call one soldier to fight against him. Why is that? We go back at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a small incident. Once Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I wake up one morning and I promised that I want to spend my whole day with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protecting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, standing with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, serving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for the whole day. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he woke up early in the morning, he went and asked where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was. So they told him sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he's at this place sitting around a small lake of water. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari went. He saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam having a moment to relax, where he had his feet in the lake of water. And then he told him, "O Prophet of Allah, today I'm under your service. Whatever you ask me, I'll do." So the first thing Abu Musa al-Ash'ari did, he stood as a guard for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Who comes? Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr wants to go and sit with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Musa tells him, "One moment, I ask a permission from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then I tell you if you're allowed to come in or not." So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari walked in and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, "Abu Bakr is outside and is asking approval, permission from you to enter, to sit with you." So sallallahu alayhi wasalam told him, "Adkhilhu wa abshirhu bil jannah. Tell him to come inside and give him the good news that he is from the people of the paradise. So Abu Bakr came in and he sat next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes. He wants to join the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr. So Abu Musa al-As'ari tells him no until I get permission from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Musa al-As'ari will ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for permission for Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, adkhilhu wa bashirhu bil jannah. Tell Umar ibn Khattab to come in and tell him the, give him the good news that he's from the people of the paradise. And then, while Abu Bakr and Umar and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are sitting down, here comes Uthman. And he wants to join the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr and Umar. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari walks in and asks the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for permission for Uthman. So sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him, أدخله وبشره بالجنة على مصيبة تصيبه. Give permission to Uthman to come in and inform him that he's from the people of the paradise over a great fitna and a great hardship that he must go through. So Abu Musa went and told Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Uthman told Abu Musa, tell the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, إذن أصبر وأحتسب. Then I'm going to be patient and I'm going to stand firm against that hardship. I'm going to be patient and I'm going to stand firm against that hardship. Another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Uthman, oh Uthman, you will go through a severe hardship where the Muslim nation will be involved. So Uthman kept everything the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him. And at that moment, Uthman knew exactly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about. So at that moment, Uthman refused to let one blood of a Muslim to be shed for his sake. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had over 40 slaves in his house. And the companions from outside the house of Uthman are ready and prepared to stand by Uthman. From those Ali, and keep this in your mind, this is one of the accusations that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets accused of, that he was from those who provoked to kill Uthman. But I'll tell you something, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came with 500 men to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, saying to him, oh Uthman, you have me and you have our kids and you have our men standing to protect you. So Uthman said, by Allah, I order you, as Amir al-Mu'mineen, as the Khalifa of the Muslims, that every single one of you goes home. I order you, and I order your children, and I order your kids, and I order your men, that every single one of you goes home, and no one participates in this fitna. And he had 40 slaves in his house. Those 40 slaves were ready to stand firm for Uthman. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that moment told his 40 slaves, you are all free men today. Everyone out of my house. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not let one finger, one foot, one arm, one hand to participate in protecting him. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu was left alone in his house until ashab al-fitna, until those divided hearts jumped into the house of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And while Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was reading the Quran, they came and killed Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they even kicked the Quran. These people are so called to be believers. They kicked the Quran. And the Quran came on the lap of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And one of them stabbed Uthman 9 times. He said, I stabbed Uthman 9 times. 3 for Allah and 6 for myself. 3 for Allah and 6 for myself. And another one kept on stepping on the chest of Uthman until it broke the chest of Uthman. While Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is getting attacked, his wife sees Uthman in that scene. She comes to protect Uthman. And while one of them coming to slaughter Uthman, she puts her hand under the sword where her fingers get chopped. And then she runs and he attacks her from her backside and he injures her. And radiallahu ta'ala anha also flees. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed under the banner of the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by those people of Ashab al-Fitna. From among those who was participating into that fitna was the son of Abu Bakr, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. One of the people that wanted to participate into that fitna was the son of Abu Bakr. But when Uthman saw him, he grabbed his beard and he told him, don't forget who the son of, who's your father and who you're the son of. Don't forget my status and my position with your father. So Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr withdrawn and walked out. But he was coming to attack and kill Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These people killed Uthman under the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Killed Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu under the name of doing something good for Islam and the Muslims. And then that moment in the Muslim history changed the Muslim history. Changed the Muslim world. And that's when the division started. After the death of Uthman, the Muslim state went through a chaos and went through a great and massive confusion. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the leader of the Muslims. After the death of Uthman, those people who killed Uthman gained a lot of support. Their followers became over 10,000 of them in Medina. And after the death of Uthman, the head of those people, the Fattanin, became the Imam of the Mosque of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, he was leading the Muslims at that moment. And the Muslims at that moment were a body with no head. And people in a state of confusion, where Uthman or the killers of Uthman are getting more support, and it was said that those 10,000 used to say out loud and proud that we killed Uthman. We killed Uthman. Why? Because of the fitna. Because of the fitna. Accusing Uthman of this, accusing Uthman of that. They built hatred in the heart of a lot of the Muslims. And a lot of those Muslims were weak-minded, weak iman. So they start to accept that. And they start to fight against the un-Muslim leader who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had promised the paradise many times. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Usra, alayhi salatu wa sallam asked donations from the companions. And Uthman came with a lot of wealth. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما ضل عثمان ما فعل بعد اليوم. Nothing will ever harm Uthman ever after this day. That's how Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that's how sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Uthman in many, many ahadith. So those killers of Uthman became so strong they had over 10,000 of their followers. And people are standing by them. And people are supporting them. And supported them and supported the action against their own leader Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the great companions, everyone just in a state of confusion. What could they do? Fight against 10,000. So one of the great companions from the beginning of Islam, and it's even mentioned, Talha and Zubair were from among them. They went to Ali. They looked around, there's no one more suitable to be a Khalifa after Uthman except Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So they went to Ali and told Ali, oh Ali, there is no one else except you to save the Muslim nation by taking the position of Khilafah. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, by Allah, how can I take the Khilafah when the body of Uthman has not even been buried yet? It's like I'm doing a stand over Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So after they buried Uthman, they came back to Ali and they said, oh Ali, save the Muslim nation. There is no one else except you who is suitable to take on this position. And one companion after another putting pressure over Ali. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepts the bay'ah. And the bay'ah is the pledge that they used to give to the Khalifa when they become a Khalifa. A pledge that you are our Khalifa and we accept your orders and we take your orders and so on and so on. So they gave bay'ah to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had more sympathy from the killers of Uthman. The killers of Uthman had sympathy for Ali than anyone else. They had sympathy for Ali than anyone else, due that he is from the family member of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that moment became the Khalifa after Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was put in a state and a position where the Muslim state is in chaos. He needs to make a big changes. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu start to think, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu came up with conclusions to make big changes in the Muslim state. From those changes is he wanted to change all the governors that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had in the other Muslim state. So he changed the governor in Egypt, and he changed the governor in Iraq, and he changed the governor that Uthman had a son in Sham. His name is Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was a governor on Sham. Who assigned him before Uthman? Umar. Umar assigned Muawiyah before Uthman assigning Muawiyah. So Umar is the one that assigned Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan to be the governor on Sham. And then Uthman came in, he approved of Muawiyah being the governor of Sham. When Ali came in, Ali wanted to change all the governors. So they all accepted except Muawiyah. Muawiyah did not accept the replacement. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent one of the Muslims to replace Muawiyah. Muawiyah refused this Muslim to enter Sham. Okay. Now that's where the fitness starts. People accuse Muawiyah, who is a great companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he turned against Ali because he wanted the Khilafah. But the truth is, that wasn't the conflict. The conflict at that moment was that a lot of people a lot of the companions loved Uthman. And a lot of them sympathized with the death of Uthman. From among those, Al-Zubayr and Talha. Al-Zubayr ibn Awam and Talha, they were from the first people to enter Islam. And they are from the 10 Mubashareen fil Jannah. They are from the 10 who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised paradise. Uthman, Talha, Al-Zubayr, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. They were all from those 10 who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had promised paradise. And they were all from the early comers to Islam. Talha was Zubayr asked Ali the first thing that when Ali became a Khalifa, they asked him, "Oh Ali, retaliate for the death of Uthman." And the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Allah forgive them, including Aisha, while they were coming back from Hajj, they heard the bad news of the death of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So they went back to Mecca. And who was from those wives who really got emotional over the death of Uthman? Was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Talha and Zubayr went to Mecca and stood with Aisha over calling to retaliate for the death of Uthman. Now no doubt Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we want to clear something, ikhwani, because this is where a lot of the misguidance comes in. No doubt that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first one to retaliate for the death of Uthman. But people had to understand the situation of Ali. He just came into the leadership. And for him to retaliate, he's got to retaliate from those strong people in Medina that had 10,000 followers. So for him just to come into the Khilafah and the next day to retaliate for the death of Uthman is just going to turn things against him. For that, he spoke to some of the companions. It's only a matter of time where I need to get a bit of strength. I need to get a bit of power. I need to get things tabled. Then I'll retaliate. But for me just to come in today and you want me to fight against those who are really strong, it's not going to make things better. But because of the emotions, especially of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Talha and Zubayr, and over all this Muawiyah, and Muawiyah's support in Sham, because Muawiyah had a lot of people under him. He had a strong state. Because of the emotion and the rush, things got out of hands. Because of the emotions and the rush, things got out of hands. The issue was to retaliate for the death of Uthman. No one disagrees, but it's just the matter of time where Aisha, Al-Zubayr, and Talha, and Muawiyah wanted it to happen now. And Ali says, I'd love to make it happen now, but I'm not in a position of strength to make it happen now. Give me a bit of time. For that, the Muslims divided. وعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها and الزبير and Talha went to Basra
and went to Iraq.
Went to Iraq where there is a lot of Muslims who sympathize for Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه to gather an army to come and retaliate for the death of Uthman. Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه when he heard that, he came out with an army to Iraq where Aisha and Zubair and Talha had already prepared an army to come and retaliate for Uthman. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came out with an army, not for the sake of war, for the sake of speaking things over with Aisha and Talha and Zubair. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived to Iraq, from inside his army, there was a lot of those people who were from the supporters to the killers of Uthman. So the army of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there were some of them who were the supporters of the killers of Uthman. And Ali wasn't in a position where he could isolate them or else things just become worse. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all he wanted is just a bit of stability to get things strong so he could do what other people are asking him. But sometimes people, because of their emotions, and Muawiyah is the cousin of Uthman, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Aisha, she also relates to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu because of a bit of emotions and so on, things just got out of hand. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived with an army of 100,000 of his men in Iraq, he came to speak and sort things with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived, he sent letters and they start to become communication between Ali and Aisha and Zubair and Talha. At the end, they came to an agreement of peace and the retaliation for the death of Uthman will take place, but just need a bit of time. There was people with the fitna. Same people who caused the fitna by killing Uthman did not like the peace. We said Abdullah ibn Sabah is a Yahudi that wants to plot and play dirty against the Muslims and Islam. Abdullah ibn Sabah didn't like that peace treaty. So he sat down with his followers and he said, at night, we sent few of our men to the army of Aisha and Talha and Zubair and kill one of their men. Or kill few of their main men like this. They want to retaliate from the army of Ali and then the war breaks again. And indeed at night, they sent one of their men in the army of Aisha and Talha and Zubair and killed few of their main men. And one of them is being narrated as Talha. So the people and the Muslims in the army of Aisha and Zubair could not stand to see them being betrayed by the army of Ali. So the next day, a great battle by the name of Ma'arakat al-Jamal took place between the army of Ali and the army of Aisha and Zubair. And now indeed, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his army was much more stronger than the army of Aisha and Zubair. They had victory over them. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, these were his words before the war started. He told the believers and the Muslims, anyone that runs, don't chase him. Don't kill him. Anyone that's on the ground, can't move, do not kill him. Like in other words, he's trying to keep peace as much as he can. Only fight if you get attacked. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali no doubt he had a bigger army. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his army defeated the army of Aisha and Zubair. And Zubair also died in that battle. And a lot of companions died. Over 10,000 from the two army were killed. And they were all Muslims. And that's not where it stops. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from among those he captured, was Aisha. She was the head of the army. So she was captured as like a prisoner of war. And then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu called her brother and he said, you take her back home and you keep her home. From that moment, Aisha promised never ever to be involved in any politics that involves this area. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's been narrated in the hadith, alayhi salatu wa sallam walked into three of his women. From those three that was sitting down was Aisha. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ba Allah, I could see one of you, the dogs of Iraq are barking onto them. The dogs of Iraq are barking onto them. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, on the way there, she heard the dogs of Iraq barking on her. So she knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has shown him a great vision of what's happening in the future. That battle was called the Battle of Jamal. It was against Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Aisha and her army. Then the other great battle that took place between a great army, Ali's army, against a great army, Muawiyah's army, 100,000 Muslim against 100,000 Muslim, where 70,000 of them were killed. Muslims against Muslims. Companions against companions. Two heads of the great heads of Islam, they fought against each other. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, their call is one. That was called the Ma'raka of Siffin. And from that moment, as I said, history was changed, where the sects start to come out from the Khawarij and the Shia and those who ever exaggerate with Ali and those who turn against Ali. And inshallah, we'll continue this next week. My brothers and sisters, this point is a very important point. A lot of misconception, a lot of misguidance takes place in that point, where a lot of people accuse Muawiyah of things, or accuse Ali of things, or accuse the companions of things. And inshallah, we only mention to you what's authentic and what's right, bi-idhnillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma ahdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aslih ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat. Al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, innaka ya Rabbana qaribun mujibun lid da'awat. Allahumma ansur al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma dammir kafarata wal muhidin. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين